I just want to get to check the volume when you start.
Good morning. I call to order this 29th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. My name is John Weingart. I live in Delaware Township in Hunterdon County. I ask the other members of council to introduce themselves. Tracy
Carluccio, public representative from Hunterdon County.
Tim Dillingham, I'm a public member. I live in Mercer.
Michael Salavara, Somerset County, council person from Bernardsville. And Mr. Chairman, I am going to have to leave at 11:30 due to another commitment. So if I stand up and walk out, it's has nothing to do with what's being discussed at the moment.
Nothing personal.
The microphones aren't on.
Maybe less precipitate.
Tax writer, Morris County, Freeholder.
You're going to pull them up a little closer.
Debbie Pasquarelli, Warren County representative.
Scott Whitenack, public member from Morristown.
Janice Novak, councilwoman, town of Clinton, Hunterdon County.
This meeting was advertised, publicized in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. We thank everyone who was here for attending. All who wish, please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For anyone who hasn't been here before, and for those who have, the agenda and materials that are to be discussed at this meeting are on the table in the back. Does the sound better? People here? First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of our last meeting on May 11th. Resolution to
approve the minutes.
There a second?
Second.
Any comments, corrections, discussion?
Do you want to have a
all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Minutes are approved. My report, the only thing I want to mention is no news, I guess, about the replacement of the filling of the three vacancies on the council. I know the governor's office has received a large number of resumes from a variety of sources and is continuing to review them. One thing I had said, maybe the last meeting or the one before, I had the wrong impression about the nature of the vacancies. All three of the members who left the council were people nominated directly by the seats, nominated directly by the governor and for confirmation by the Senate. So that's the process that will go forward.
Can you put your
microphone on?
I can't hear you.
Well, that's when I asked whether you could hear, nobody said that they could hear.
Can we
just
hear what you asked?
Right.
The mic's are on, but the volume isn't on.
All right. Is that better? No. The air conditioning. Well, we'll try to talk as loudly as we can. Okay. And the only thing of substance I said so far is the agenda and any documents relevant to the meeting are on the back table. And the governor's office is reviewing candidates to recommend to the state senate for filling the three vacant slots on the council. And obviously, we all hope that happens soon. Any council members have items they wish to report on at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to report, I attended the New Jersey Planning Officials Conference, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and the topic was eminent domain and issues related to redevelopment. And any of the council members want to chat about this at some time, there were some very interesting issues raised, and it's going to have implications for our business in the future when we're asked to review redevelopment applications, particularly in the preservation area. It's an interesting topic, timely topic, and relevant to us, I think.
Other members? Okay, we turn to the executive director's report. Dante DeGiro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking of vacancies, this time on the staff, we have a number of vacancies, as the council is aware. We've had, I think what can only be described as an excellent response to the request for applications. Our status is that we have had two meetings with the Personnel Committee. After the first meeting, we were able to send down four recommendations to Department of Personnel. We have met earlier in today to discuss an additional couple positions. The positions that we're recommending include resource management specialist, which is in our science unit, in the planning unit. We have a grants unit, government affairs person, and the position of principal planner. Given the fact that we're still in negotiation with these folks, we aren't able to release any identities today publicly, but we are hoping that we get a quick turnaround from the Department of Personnel. If we're able to do that, we should have some really outstanding candidates start hopefully in the next several weeks. That will really help us to move forward on development of the regional master plan and also ramp up our outreach to municipalities so that they understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and they can get fully involved in the process. And that effort will, of course, continue after adoption of the plan because the same folks whom we are recommending not only have the skills to develop the plan and to interface with local government units, but also then to handle applications and to deal with implementation. On the subject of staffing up, I'm happy to announce that we were able to implement the graduate studies program that the council approved last time, and we have several of our folks who are here today. I'd ask them to stand up. We have Anthony Cortese, Megan Saunders, Chris Percival, and Kaisha Wurzeka, all very talented folks who have either are in graduate school or are recent graduates of graduate school and or who are here to help work with our science planning GIS units on development of the plan. So welcome and thank you so much for participating. Maybe identify yourself.
I think we know who Anthony is.
Yeah.
No, Anthony Cortese, yes.
Chris Percival from GIS.
Megan Saunders from planning. Megan Saunders from planning. Okay.
Kasha. And Kasha, I think, is legal?
Yes.
Yeah, from legal. So they're all wonderful talents, and we're really happy to have them on board. In terms of regional master plan update, we are proceeding each council meeting with an update for you on where we are in development of the plan. We have two specific things in your packet, an updated progress report, and a detailed version for your consideration. The big picture first is that we've gotten a lot accomplished since the last meeting. There are some areas where we need to have follow-up discussion with the Plan Development Committee because we have a very aggressive schedule and already there are some tension points. We want to make sure that we're sticking with our schedule. In that regard, we'll be scheduling a meeting with Plan Development Committee and we'll talk to them about where we're going, what we're including, and what we're doing, and how we're doing it. You should all know, committee members, but also members of the public, that that list that we did, that 9-foot-long schedule, is a fully complete list that is our full hit list. It's everything that we would really love to do if we had the time. It has always been contemplated as a list that will need some paring back. And part of the active process we'll have in adjusting it with the Plan Development Committee will be to monitor where we are on the schedule, monitor what we have remaining, and make some crucial determinations through the council on what we're going to do for the rest of the scope. So with that, I'll turn it over to Steve, who's with some of our staff have worked up a new snapshot way to look at it, including a thermometer, which is hopefully easy for members of the public as well to see where we are. Steve?
Thank you, Dante. To address the concerns raised by the council at the previous meeting, we presented an alternative way of reporting on the status of the regional master plan, and that's the one page, and we've requisitioned the magnifying glasses to make it easier to read, but we'll work on the presentation the next time. But it gives an overall snapshot. It essentially looks at the regional master plan in its entirety. Allocates the primarily the time resources necessary to complete each of the major elements, and gives a relative status of where we are at the end of this particular reporting period of May 19th. It also looks at the individual major elements and gives a relative percent in terms of level of effort that each of those elements represent and where we are in completion of those elements. If you look at the yellow columns at the bottom, it gives you a percent complete for the total project and also compares that against what our target is, consistent with the overall schedule. We're slightly behind our target, but we are making, as indicated in the more detailed version, significant progress towards advancing the plan towards adoption at the end of the year. The thermometer was just a way of reducing this to a way that's visually, you can see where we need to go, where we are in overall effort, and the red arrow showing where we should be in that effort at the end of the reporting period. So hopefully this addresses the council's concern in terms of reducing it to a bigger picture type reporting. If there's any suggestions, recommendations, or questions that you have, we can make adjustments moving forward. The detailed project schedule status as of the reporting period, May 8th through May 19th, is also included. It shows where we've made significant advancements in development of the plan and gives the status of that work effort or that individual task in terms of its percent complete, and also establishes the staff priorities for the next reporting period to ensure that we are allocating our resources in a way that addresses the most critical needs in terms of maintaining the project schedule. So generally, we're making tremendous progress. It is an ongoing challenge. There are some shortfalls in certain areas that we're looking to address and come up with a remedy to maintain the December adoption.
We're going to schedule a meeting of the Plan Development Committee between now and the next council meeting to go over this in more detail and see what its implications are. Are there any questions for Steve? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, with regard to the June release of data, we are in the process of working up a staff recommendation on exactly how we'll pull a presentation together for the June 22nd meeting. Part of what we hope to have on the agenda for the Plan Development Committee meeting will include consideration of that staff recommendation so that we'll be able to proceed at the next council meeting with a rollout of some of the data. We're also pleased to announce that in terms of data sharing agreements that we now have agreements with all seven of the Highlands counties. These data agreements are agreements by which the counties and the Highlands Council will share data. This will ensure that not only the council has good data for development of the plan, but when we obtain our new cutting-edge data, that we can share that with the counties all to the end of good planning and especially good regional planning. Your materials list some of the recent outreach events that we've attended and also includes a list of upcoming events. Obviously, if members wish to participate, just let us know. We've had a number of very helpful events recently with towns, mostly where towns had requested some more information, and so members of the staff joined me in speaking with them to make sure that their questions were answered and that they knew what our status was in our development of the regional master plan. Also, for your consideration in the packet are two items which I hadn't mentioned before. They are the tax charrette final report. This is the one that has the pictures on the front, and a response to the comment document. And the response to the comments respond to the comments that we received on our scoping document. You'll recall both of these processes have been ongoing, and these documents will present you, we hope, with input from our significant external stakeholders, and is worthy clearly of your reading and consideration as we think about the next policy decisions on the plan. Tom quite rightly reminds me that a number of these things will be on the web for you, both the two items that I just mentioned. In addition, we will be getting up something on the web that will show you an update on the progress of development of the regional master plan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. Dr. Abe, do we now have agreement with all of the seven counties that we'll be sharing data?
We do.
I know we had two delinquent ones.
Yes, everyone is now signed on, and we're glad of it.
Dante, thank you very much. This was a very helpful, comprehensive report. I appreciate that from you. Somebody had suggested to me yesterday that we put a notice on our agenda referencing the fact that of materials, elaboration of the agenda items is available on the website, that people don't know that. So for your consideration, Mr. Chairman, that might be something. When you mentioned it's on the web, I guess some people don't realize that. We take it for granted. Everybody knows that they can go there and find our materials ahead of the meeting.
Right, we're putting things on in advance, as you say, to make sure folks have access to it, and afterwards the members of the public can have access to the documents that we present that weren't posted earlier, plus can get can listen to a live presentation of a tape recording of the meeting. So we want to have a number of ways for folks to stay in touch with what we're doing. And Debbie, while I want to thank you for your compliment on the report, I will tell you, the format may be mine, but I was on vacation for the end of the week, and you have to thank Tom Warden, who did a great job with it, and I should say has been doing an excellent job in the deputy director position, so he deserves all the credit for that.
Other comments, questions? Thank you. Well, next on our agenda, we have a presentation, a guest who's familiar to many of us. Lisa Jackson is the Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection. She was here at a number of meetings, often sitting quietly as an Assistant Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, where she served over the last 4 years, and before that she was a trained engineer and worked in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So, Lisa, thanks for coming, and happy you made the trip up here.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't keep you waiting, Mr. Chairman. How is everyone? You know, I was raised Catholic. This feels like the old days at Mass. I know they're back there. I can hear them breathing. So forgive my back, everyone, but I'm thrilled to be here today to address this council. It's always good to see you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, and all the members of the council and the council staff who work so hard on making the Highlands Act a reality. And a fair one for the people in this area and for the people of our state. I'm really here this morning with one main message and then happy to answer questions from the council. It is good to be back here, especially now, sitting in the chair in which I sit, and to work with you and to continue to work with you. I come with greetings from Governor Corzine, and I want to emphasize that which he has emphasized to me so many times personally, which is that he is committed to implementation of the Highlands Act in a way which is fair to the environment, which protects the environment of our state, protects our water resource, and fair to the landowners and the farmers up here who deserve to know that their governor and their government are here to protect their interests as well as the interests of the state as a whole. So with those two messages, I think one of the things that is important for me to do today, and we're putting out a press release from the department today as well, is to correct one very significant piece of misinformation that I've heard. As you all know, the DEP is operating right now under the auspice of interim rules that were put forward. Goodness. I can't remember when we put them forward, but I signed off on putting them forward. I guess we put them forward last May. Thank you. And in December of this past year, we proposed to readopt those rules with amendments. And there has been some concern that because the May rules were said by the Act to expire in a year, that essentially come today, we would be operating without rules to govern development or major Highlands development up here, which is what the rules regulate. And I carry the message, which has now been researched twice, that according to the APA, our interim rules are in effect and remain in effect until November 2nd, 2006. And to give you my assurance that it is our plan that those rules will not lapse between now and then, that it is our intention and our commitment to have our amended rule adopted by that date, so that essentially we will not be operating at any point in time without the effect or without the benefit of either the interim rules or the readopted rules, and they were proposed for readoption with amendments. Yesterday, the department mailed out letters to all of the mayors in the Highlands reaffirming the validity of the rules, and that was done mainly and entirely as a point of clarification. The mayors, the localities, the municipalities are so important in implementation of the Highlands Act as a whole, but in terms of making sure that they understand, local zoning officers and planning officers and mayors have been our best friends in many areas, and we want to make sure that they know that the department's rules are still in effect to govern major Highlands development. I can't overemphasize how personally committed I am to working with this council to do whatever is needed to make sure that the Highlands Act is implemented and that you are successful in the monumental task and the very important work of developing the regional master plan for the Highlands region. I am so committed, as you all know, your staff certainly know, that we are very close, I think, to agreeing with the staff on supplying as much technical support as they've requested to help in the master plan development process. We recently received a request essentially to do, I'll call it almost consulting services, to provide information that the staff needs in order to move forward on chunks of the master planning and the master plan, and we are happy to provide that. We are struggling just a little bit internally with what we won't be able to do because we are taking our best and brightest off of their work and assigning them almost full-time, really essentially full-time, to this task. And it is worthwhile to me because your goals and minds and the departments are absolutely intertwined and must be in order for us to move forward. The plan has to be successful. It needs to be comprehensive, and I want to commend the council and the council staff on a process that will, I believe, lead to a plan that is transparent, that puts information out to the public as you develop it, that allows the public an opportunity to see exactly what the resource decisions are that are driving the planning in as part of the regional master plan. And so while I know they and I am frustrated by a delay in receiving the plan of any type, I think making sure that the plan, when it reaches the public, has been vetted as much as possible and is accurate and thorough and technically very sound is a worthwhile goal and worth the extra time that it may take. Another misconception that I do want to address is that our rules for the preservation area are required in the planning area. That is not the case. However, there is in the proposed readoption this concept of harmonization, which was very important, as I understand it, to both the council and to the department. And that is really a function of two things. While the preservation area and the core area are guided by our rules, the planning area, which is what your staff are working so hard on now, is essentially a huge I don't want to say experiment, that doesn't sound fair, but a huge testimony to the importance of regional planning, something that I spend a good deal of my time these days as commissioner of the department emphasizing to the public in general, that if we can get people to sit down and regionally plan, to look at an area as a whole, not as a conglomeration of separate municipalities, we will come out with a better result both environmentally and I think economically as well. Because where we don't have water or wastewater capacity, we simply don't have the ability to grow without a change in infrastructure. And so decisions like that guide us very strongly at the department. So we thought and incorporated in our proposed readoption the idea of harmonizing our wastewater planning process in the department, which is statutorily required, with the Highlands Regional Master Plan, which is looking at wastewater as one of its essential components and wastewater planning. And I think that that is prudent public policy. We would be remiss not to do so. And while I understand municipalities may opt out of the master plan, I think that when they do so, they need to understand that in doing that, they are opting out of a potential regional master plan for water quality and wastewater quality, which is required under our Clean Water Act, and which would be very difficult for us not to look towards the master plan for guidance on. So we look for that master plan and we wait for it for a number of reasons, but also because of our Section 208 requirements under the Clean Water Act. I also want to continue to keep our promise, our solemn promise to homeowners that they should continue to, as the Star Ledger noted on Sunday, receive pre-Highlands Act value for those who have stepped forward and asked for compensation. We have and will continue to work very closely with this council and its staff on compensation issues, and I will continue to make the request that you please send us any information or names of homeowners who feel as though they have come through the compensation process, requested compensation, and been and haven't felt that they met with a satisfactory resolution. We've requested that of your staff. We haven't gotten any names yet, and as far as I know, we can't respond to concerns. But please do consider us a partner in that effort. I realize that there are concerns in the public, and I understand them, about the resources that are needed for compensation, the financial resources, and the Garden State Preservation Trust, and the fact that we are running out of money, and it is one of my highest priorities, and the governor's as well, to address the reauthorization, the renewal of the Garden State Preservation Trust, probably in a ballot initiative next year. So I think we are on a path to putting more money where we said we would, which is to ensure that homeowners here do not feel that the act has harmed them financially. The other piece of that, of course, is this council's very important work on TDR and on transferring development rights for those homeowners who prefer to keep their land but be compensated for the development, which can no longer happen there. I do want to remind everyone, even though I can't face them, that just because you're not exempt from the Highlands rules does not mean that you cannot do anything on your property. There are certain exemptions spelled out in the Act, but there is a Highlands permit process that may still qualify you for some types of development in the Highlands Preservation Area. I do recognize that this is a stressful time for homeowners, continues to be stressful. While most misinterpretation of rules is probably unintentional, I do worry that there are people out there who are spreading and stoking fear amongst people for intentions that may not be entirely in line with the Act. And so I do encourage people to continue dialogue, as I know they will, with this council and with my office as you need us to help to address any real concerns out there. We have put together a facts and myths paper on our website. I think it's very helpful. That came about after a recent meeting where my staff, I think it was my assistant commissioner, Mark Moriello, came up and felt that a lot of the questions he got, and he's much better versed in the rules than I am, fortunately, really were the results of misconceptions about the rules. So that was done immediately after that meeting. To try to give people a place where they could go and see in black and white the answers to some very common questions and to debunk some misconceptions that we feel are out there. With that introduction, I think I'll open it up to a couple of questions. I'm thrilled to be here today, as I said, and wish this council all the best in its continuing efforts.
Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it. Let me ask about the land conservation funding. When your predecessor sat where you're sitting with her back to the audience, his back to the audience, a year or so ago, he said that while there was clearly a need for a new infusion of funds into Green Acres or some mechanism for land preservation funding, that it was at least a while away and that the department at that point was not turning down any Highlands land deal because of lack of funds. Is that still true?
Yeah, it is my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that that is still the case, that we expect to have funding to get us through about this time next year and probably beyond on a statewide basis. And we do certainly put as a high priority for acquisition properties in the Highlands when landowners, I'll say not just homeowners, but landowners come forward asking for compensation.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. We're so glad that you're here. I particularly am pleased, and I thank you for coming. I remember when your predecessor sat there and we had a very interesting discussion with him. I was asked yesterday by the Star Ledger if I had some 10 questions that I might ask you about, 10 proposals that are before the DEP for consideration, and I only came up with a handful, but I'm not going to go into those now because I think this is not the appropriate time to do that. But I did think of one thing about 3 o'clock in the morning while I was laying awake trying to figure out what to ask you.
I have those days, too.
And that's why I look the way I do this. But the critical thing that I wanted to speak about is what you have just spoken about. We have taken a lot of brickbats from the public on, I believe, many misunderstandings about the Highlands Act, what it does, what it should be doing, what it can do, and what it cannot do. And your comments just now about trying to disabuse people of those false notions coming from the Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection is extraordinarily helpful to us. And if that goes forward, as you've just indicated, I think we will all benefit from that. It will not stop the people who want to criticize the Act because they have other reasons to do that. And they're perfectly free to do that. We're eager to listen to them, as we always have been. But I thank you for making that recommendation, because I think that's going to be very important for us.
Good. Thank you. I couldn't agree more.
Commissioner, nice to have you here, and thank you for your support of the Council's efforts. You said that the DEP rules will be extended to be in effect until November 2nd. What happens after that?
Well, it is our intention and my commitment to you that we will readopt the rules or make a decision on the rules by November 2nd. So we received a large volume of public comments, and then the transcript from the public meeting. We're compiling those comments. We are bound to respond to those comments, all as part of the rulemaking process.
So they may be revised somewhat, and then.
Well, right. I don't have the up-to-date knowledge of the rulemaker, the rule writer, but she is bound to review all those comments, make whatever changes she may deem necessary. There are rules that govern what kind of changes you can make on adoption of a rule. So if there's anything too significant, we have to re-propose. So, but the rulemaking process as we go forward means that we have to take action by a certain date.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Jackson, thank you for coming. And thank you for your comments. I just wanted to add to the point about debunking myths. Those of us who've been or are municipal officials are dealing with the Act at some degree at the street level. And from the day that the Act became law, we've had to deal with the dilemma of local officials, construction officials, zoning officers. They don't understand the Act. It's something new. I'm certainly aware of some mistakes that have occurred that none of us in this room would have wanted to occur. And our staff here has operated as a clearinghouse for some information and tried to be as helpful as possible. Certainly when I got questions, I would refer them to the staff. To that end, in Warren County on June 12th, we're having a meeting, and the DEP is participating in it. Highlands informational meeting with all the municipalities and zoning officers, whatever. And I just want to emphasize that as somebody who's dealt with this at the street level, I don't have a specific request. But for those of us who want to see the Act implemented properly and also go a long way towards debunking myths and misinformation, would be a strong effort from the Council and the DEP to help educate officials so that they can assist us properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. I just want to say that if you can think of any places where we can assist you in your efforts, your staff, in getting information out there, making sure that you have the same people in the room, so that, and it does happen, people are human, they go to one place and get one answer, they go somewhere else, they get a slightly different answer, people get afraid. So if that means we put people in the same room at the same time, we're more than happy to do that.
I just have a question. Dante, something to Debbie's point, is this going to be continued through other counties as well? And I think this kind of informational session would be outstanding for, I know, Hunterdon, and I'm sure some of the others would be interested in as well.
Yes.
Is it an outreach on our part or from the county part?
I think, I'm not sure how Warren started, but it's an ongoing effort of the council staff that we've been trying to get education out there. When we were at recent meetings, this issue that Debbie's pointing out has come up, which is, how can we get out there and let the local folks on the ground know what the requirements are, and DEP has expressed a willingness to join us. And so I think this is the beginning of an effort that will cover all the counties. And I think part of our ability to hire grants and outreach folks will really materially help that. So. And the commissioner's been very helpful with helping us get those positions filled, so I think it's all in the same good project.
Mr. Chairman, I just have one more comment. Commissioner The DEP for a long time has been notorious for not approving permits in a timely, applications in a timely fashion.
That's what keeps me up at 3 o'clock.
I'm sure it does. It keeps all of us elected officials as well. Are you and is the DEP doing anything to accelerate those processes?
Yes, thank you for asking, Mr. Vice Chairman. We are, in the larger scale, not just related to the Highlands. One of the things that the governor has charged me to do is to basically fix the administrative processes in the department so that permits are processed for either a yes or a no in a timely manner. Because his feeling, and we've heard it time and time again, and I would wager that most of you have heard it too, is that a decision, even if it's not the one people want to hear, that's made quick and timely and is understandable and transparent and consistent is better than no decision. So we are working very hard right now in the department, and I think by year's end you will see changes in how we operate that are meant to be to cut down on redundancies, to make sure that things that can be reviewed are reviewed by all programs at one time so that you don't get all the way through one program and then you start fresh with a separate office in the DEP. That is unreasonable for people to have to deal with. As much as possible, we're going to try to get people information up front about whether or not we expect to be able to approve something. It's going to take us a bit more time, frankly. I would love to say we're ready to do it by July 1st. That was my goal, but it takes a little bit more time to re-engineer. And I think that to the credit of the employees at the department, they are as interested in doing that as anyone on the outside because they want people, they are professionals, they simply want to do their job. They have a tremendous burden in terms of the number of regulations they're expected to implement, and anything that makes it clearer to them as to how they can implement it and implement it fast and in a way that's fair and transparent is very, very exciting for them as well.
Thank you.
Yes. Hello, Commissioner Jackson. Question, I'm particularly pleased to hear you mention harmonization, and it's been an important theme for the council, and very important that the DEP regulations and our master plan be harmonized, and it's heartening. Do you see, what timeline do you see with that? Do you see a major effort towards harmonization before the November deadline?
No, I think one of the things we've always struggled with respect to harmonizing is the timing on the master plan. And so because the November deadline is a hard deadline for us, we don't have the luxury of moving it again. One of the things that we'll continue to do is work as closely as we can to make sure we understand where the master plan is going. But, you know, if you're not ready at the November 2nd deadline, the idea was that we would have some general language in the readoption to talk about our goal of always trying to defer to the master plan as much as possible within the constraints of the Act and the regulations that the Act is meant to implement, and then if necessary to come back once you have your master plan finalized and do a more formal rulemaking. I mean, that's certainly out there. But what we didn't want to do is have the rules be out there and be so stringent that you were doing all your master planning and now you felt as though we couldn't work together. And even though we're in the preservation area and you're in both, we wanted to give ourselves that amount of flexibility.
And as key elements of the plan are being rolled out, you're included in that, the briefings.
We're included. I'm getting briefed now monthly, thanks to Director DePiro. I've asked, and he's been good enough to make sure I'm understanding on a monthly basis. And in many cases, we are doing some of the significant technical work. So we are more than informing the process. As much as possible, my only request has been if we can get deliverables, standalone items that people can work on and then hand over to the council staff, that's easier for me to accommodate than trying to bring people up from Trenton to Chester. That's a heck of a commute during a time when people have family obligations, usually in the summer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, we were somewhat disturbed by your initial decision on one of your choices of a deputy commissioner, but
you know, I figure you can have any staff you want. It's a fair trade for Adam. He's been wonderful, and he has been an incredible assistance to the council, even in his new job, as well as an incredible assistance to me. So I thank you for that. I really
thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Now to our committee reports, and start with Tim and the Natural Resources Committee.
Good
Mr. Chairman, the Natural Resources Committee met last on the 18th of May. The commissioner's comments are a bit segued because our primary focus of that meeting was a discussion about the review of water quality management plan amendments, which are, as most folks know, I think, regulatory and planning documents under the jurisdiction of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection dealing with sewers and wastewater treatment. In the rules that the department is operating under now, the Highlands rules, there is a harmonization provision that was put in there at the request of the council and through the collaboration in that rule development that DEP will not approve a project or an amendment in the planning area without first obtaining a recommendation from the Highlands Council. And as you can see from our agenda later on, we have a specific case of that in front of us today. So the committee went through and had a good discussion and interaction with the public about what the process ought to be in terms of how we conduct our review, how we would do our analysis in a way that's complementary to the work that's done by other agencies, particularly the DEP. There were some concerns that came into that conversation about particularly workload balancing, how to keep moving forward on the regional master plans. The again, as they will see later on in the afternoon, these wastewater management plan amendments can be very complex. They have a whole host of issues associated with them in terms of what ought to be considered. We don't have a formal recommendation yet on the process itself, but generally, just for the council's information, really what we're trying to do is compare the elements of the regional master plan, even as they're being developed, to the amendment itself, to the proposals themselves. And these are they come in generally two forms: one being more comprehensive planning level amendments, the other ones being project specifics, which are like this afternoon. And really, the idea is to try to identify potential conflicts with the Act, potential conflicts with our obligations in terms of the resources we're trying to protect. Smart growth concepts we're trying to promote and we're obligated to promote. Really, these are bare bones process at this point is for the staff to do a review of the amendment of the materials, to have a conversation with the DEP staff in terms of their reviews, many elements of which are complementary, many elements of which are not. And obviously, the big hole in all this to date has been the absence of the regional master plan and using that as a benchmark, and all the analysis that Steve and his staff are doing in terms of regional impacts, cumulative impacts, that type of thing. Then the recommended process that this is we're working on is then to have the National Resource Committee review it and then move forward for a recommendation to the full council for their sign off, either to approve or to not approve of the amendment. Some of the public input on this. I mean, there was an additional concern added on to the workload question, and that was simply how do you move forward in doing this kind of analysis in the absence of regional master planning. And several members of the public, and I think council members, also advocated the idea that the council should not be recommending the approval of any amendments without that plan in place. That raised more questions and answers, I think, at the committee meeting in terms of the quick no, quick yes dilemma that the commissioner mentioned. The other part of it was, I think there's a, I mean, everyone here, I think, has some probably unfortunate history with wastewater management planning in the state and bears the scars of it. So I think there's a lot of concern about the inadequacies of that process in the past, and not only just the inefficiencies, but whether or not the smart growth concepts, whether or not adequate regional comprehensive environmental protection is dealt with in the process that are put in place now. So obviously what we want to do is make sure we're not only being true to our own objectives, but making sure that the best reviews, the best analysis, the best outcomes that we can help restore come out of that process. The second part of that conversation, which is sort of kind of going back and forth from the general review to the very specific amendment proposal we have in front of us, was about Alfred Borough and a court settlement of an affordable housing obligation project that would be added on into what is now open land adjacent to the built part of the community. But the staff did go through and review it. I think we'll probably defer to the specifics that to later on, but they did go through the analysis and make some recommendations and observations to us. One of the concerns that came up in that was the public felt that they had not had enough time to adequately review the proposal and submit comments to us for our review. In addition to the DEP, the department had noticed, I think, the application back in March of this year. So one of the decisions of the committee was to ask for an extension of that and to defer, you know, sort of a conclusion to that conversation today, with the hopes of giving the public more opportunity to comment. And we have received a variety of comments by email. I guess those have been distributed, Tom, for the most part.
That's correct.
And given that,
yeah.
I'm sorry?
It wasn't distributed to the full council yet.
Oh, okay. And so given that that was a fairly lively and involved conversation, we did talk about the agricultural grants program, which was a part of our agenda that day.
Well, as you said, let's leave the alpha discussion for later on in the agenda. Any other comments or questions for Debbie? Thank you. Debbie, the Land Conservation Committee.
And I'll try and remember to speak loud if I don't. If you can't hear me, raise your hands. We held a meeting on May the 18th. We began in the meeting reviewing doing a debriefing or postmortem on the landowners forum that was held on April the 15th. And we're using that discussion to plan for the future what additional activities of this type we would recommend for the future. We have some ideas. We basically determined that we're not going to seriously consider doing this until the fall again, one factor being that we need to focus our energies on the regional master plan. And one good suggestion made on the whole issue of strategies and approaches for land conservation were in our next subcommittee meeting, to invite the members of the Land Conservation Technical Advisory Committee to consult with us and to, again, help devise some strategies to meet our goals and our obligations in that area. There was a discussion about the land equity initiative that's being developed by the council staff together with SADC and Green Acres to review. The purpose of the initiative is to establish a more efficient process for land preservation and to assess which properties are falling through the cracks. There are properties which I refer to as the orphan properties for which landowners may be interested in selling their development rights or their fee simple land, but it doesn't they don't qualify any of the existing specific programs that channel funds from the Garden State Preservation Trust. Our council staff is going to continue to meet and review this with SADC and Green Acres staff to look at the options for addressing that and some strategies and making recommendations to the council what we might want to pursue or support for changes or new programs in the future. We also reviewed the status of the Garden State Preservation Trust Fund and the fact that it's going to be coming up for reauthorization next year to replenish the funds. As part of that discussion, a suggestion was made to prepare a resolution and a draft letter stating the council's position, which is in support of the garden, as proposed in support of the renewal of the Garden State Preservation Trust. That's in your agenda packet as a resolution to be considered. I'll come back to that later. Also, our legal staff has prepared legal report, an overview of the Highlands Act pertaining to land preservation activities, specifically what the Act provides for, what it doesn't provide for. We felt it's important for us to have a very clear understanding of where we are on a legal basis as we look forward to other initiatives or implementation of the land conservation elements. We haven't distributed to the whole council, so okay. We had just received that day or the day before this subcommittee meeting, this brief, which we then tabled that discussion from the subcommittee meeting because the members of the subcommittee really needed to read. It's a rather lengthy document. At our next subcommittee meeting, we'll be reviewing that and discussing that. Final item we discussed was the status of the water fee bill that's been proposed in the legislature. Had a discussion of where that stood, implications. I know there's been press reports of the status of it in the last day or two. And discussion was also regarding extension of, there's a deadline in the Highlands Act for the guarantee or the protection of pre-act land values for preservation, conservation, for acquisition by the state. The fact that it is going to expire. We reviewed, actually I think we've discussed this at the council before, that we would support an extension of that. We discussed the fact that the current deadline, which is what, Tom?
It's 09.
09, that the reason that's in the act is because that was tied to the expiration of the Garden State Preservation Trust. So that expiration date, I mean, I certainly support that. Kurt had a lot to say about it in the subcommittee meeting, and that would be something we would be recommending to council to support in the future, I think, in all likelihood. And that's it. If anybody has any questions.
Okay. Now we turn to the chair of the Budget Finance Committee.
On the other hat, switch gears. We held a meeting also on May 18th of our subcommittee. Our primary purpose was to review the regional master plan development budget. We had discussed at council meeting funding for the land equity initiative and also the Highlands Graduate Studies Program. The council supported those initiatives. We needed to review it in a budget context and make sure there are available funds. After the review, the committee did accept the recommended changes to this budget, and therefore these programs have moved forward. They are moving forward, as you could see, witnessed by those folks introduced at the beginning of the meeting who've been brought on board. Also discussed the ongoing state budget and potential impact on the operating budget as well as a regional master plan budget for the remainder of 06 and fiscal year 07. We then spent some time reviewing the internal processes for disbursements. One of our responsibilities on this subcommittee is overseeing the proper handling of funds and disbursements for council expenses. We had a draft policy outlining these procedures. We reviewed it and edited it. We're going to continue to examine that and make some changes by the next subcommittee meeting. I think we'll be ready to finalize that and then bring it forward as a policy document for the rest of the committee, for the rest of the council. We also identified the minor modifications of the bylaws specifically related to these internal financial procedures that a year later it was time to review these. We started, these bylaws were adopted in our infancy as a council, and certainly made sense to go back and review them and make adjustments to just tighten up some of the procedures, clarify, and make, again, minor modifications to the procedure. So you see that in, it's reflected in the resolution, the amended bylaw copy that you received in your packet, and also the resolution regarding the bylaw changes. And lastly, the committee also considered the staff recommendation regarding retaining professional accounting services from an outside agency. We've discussed this at the council before, the need for doing that, and that rather than staff it internally, that we would do it with outside resources. Our staff had received some proposals, interviewed two accounting firms. The recommendation was made to contract with the accounting firm of, can't pronounce, no way, there's too many. There's
because some questions were raised, just to get just people like me try to get some more information. So I think we defer further discussion of that until the subsequent meeting.
You want me to finish this report?
Well, I mentioned the name of
the there's a name here which I can't pronounce anyway, so I'm not going to. So thanks, John, for helping me out. I can't pronounce
Smith didn't get it.
Smith. It wasn't Smith or Jones. there obviously is going to be continued discussion on this matter, and the council will hear more about it in the future. And that's the end of my report.
Any questions, comments? Okay. Final committee report is Personnel Committee, and as Dante mentioned, the Personnel Committee has met twice since the last council meeting and reviewed recommendations from the executive staff of the council, from Dante, Tom, and Steve, who have there are a lot of good news pieces of this story. One is the council received a huge number of resumes of interested people interested in working for the Highlands Council, many of whom seem highly qualified on the basis of their records and their resumes. The executive staff interviewed a large subset of that group and has made two sets of recommendations to the Personnel Committee, which we have now accepted, which would result in the complete filling out of Highland staff, to fill all the vacant positions. So all of those positions now need approval by some combination of the governor's office and the Department of Personnel, but we anticipate that going smoothly and hopefully quickly. So that's a good news story on that. This procedural question, which we'll get to in the discussion of the bylaws, that's where that question stands. Questions? I don't think there are any other committees to report at this point, so let's turn to we have several matters that could involve resolutions. The first, which is item 10 on the agenda, is consideration of a resolution that Debbie mentioned supporting dedicated funding for land conservation. We've all received or seen press releases and press news accounts in the last couple of days indicating that the chances of a water fee or tax being enacted by the legislature this session are small or non-existent. Tom, you
want to talk about
this?
Yeah, the Chair. Let's go first. Basically, the resolution is a follow-up on a resolution the Council adopted last year, which was support for the concept of a water fee or other appropriate statutory mechanism to provide additional funding for land conservation. So this resolution reiterates, refers back to that resolution, and also going forward from the work that the Land Conservation Committee has done. This resolution expresses support for the bill that's been introduced, and as the chairman referred to, may not have considerable legislative support for a water fee proposal that was in the governor's proposed budget as well. And this resolution also expresses support for the reauthorization of the Garden State Preservation Trust in terms of providing dedicated funding sources for land acquisition in the Highlands and the rest of the state. And lastly, the resolution resolves that the chairman and the executive director prepare and submit a letter to the governor and the legislature in support of these initiatives and offer the services of the Highlands Council.
I would only add to that the recent Star Ledger article that talked about the first eight parcels of land that were preserved in the last year in the preservation area, I think underscores the need for funding in the sense there was some preliminary figure that suggests that the dollar figure, the dollar, if we were to satisfy all these requests and needs for purchasing conservation easements of land in this area would amount to the billions, and we know that the billions do not exist in the overall Garden State Preservation Trust Fund, so we know that we have work to do ahead of us if we're to address, which I'm just going to read the last whereas, because I think this really sums it up. Some people have contacted me about what this was all about, and I think this last whereas really sums it up, as whereas the Highlands Council shares the conviction of the many individuals and representatives of groups who have repeatedly testified before the Highlands Council that there needs to be a dedicated, directed, and stable funding source sufficient to preserve and steward the lands envisioned to be protected by the Highlands Act. That's really what we're saying here, and again, that article reinforces that. So, anybody has any questions for us about this?
Just have one comment, Mr. Chairman. You're absolutely correct about the huge amount of money that would be necessary to acquire all those easements and acquire all that land. But I want to point out something that I've spoken of before. All of that money is not needed immediately. All of that land is not available at this time, and it will happen over a period of time. So I think that while we are in favor of this generally, I don't think we have any opposition here, I think it's critical to remember that this is not billions of dollars that needs to be deposited in some account and sitting there waiting for the land to come up. But it should be made available in the event and when it does happen.
I agree with that, and also to add one of the things that I think the committee was careful to do in drafting this resolution, as I read it, is to not get tied up in a specific legislative proposal. We're open to discussing any way to accomplish this goal.
Would someone like to introduce the motion?
I'll make
the
motion.
I'll second it.
Is there more discussion? Any discussion?
Public discussion.
Well, I will put up. Any council members' discussion? Any members of the public wish to comment on this resolution?
My name is David Shope. I live in Long Valley. And now's as good a time as any. One of the things that you have not considered is the demographics of landowners, specifically former Secretary of Agriculture Art Brown said in 2002, the average age of a farmer in New Jersey is 58 and it's going up. It is now 2006, so it has gone up. And I'm going to submit this article from a recent issue of Lancaster Farming that goes to the demographics which apply all over the state. This particular farmer that this article talks about has 78 acres down in South Jersey, just a town south of Paulsboro. He's not in the Pinelands, and he's certainly not in the Highlands. He has a toy warehouse looming on the horizon of his farm. His son works making doors because there's no room for him to make money on the farm. This fellow has a choice. He can welcome development. He can do any one of a number of things. We in the Highlands have been denied this opportunity. So the importance of dedicated funding is all the more real to us up here. I support the resolution. But when you do your deliberations, consider the demographics. They are out there. They're obvious. They apply to me. Thank you.
Other people wish to comment on the resolution?
Yes.
Julia Summers, Executive Director of New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to tell you that this is something that has universal support from the members of the Highlands Coalition. In my previous job, we at the Great Swamp Watershed Association, we found ourselves quite often lobbying on behalf of the refuge and the national park, which could not lobby on behalf of itself. To the extent that we can lobby on behalf of the council in support of your resolution, we are very happy to do that. Thank you.
Any other public comments on the resolution? Any of the council comments? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. The next matter, item 11 on the agenda, is consideration of a resolution amending the council bylaws. Dante?
Deb, did you want to keep up the discussion of the bylaw?
For the planet?
Yep.
You can read it.
Okay. The issue that we raised and discussed, as Debbie indicated, was what process would we be following for disbursement of funds and also signing of checks. It seems like a fairly routine matter, but as Debbie indicated, it was important to revisit to determine what procedures we're following and take a look again at the bylaws to see how what we've been doing comported with what was in the bylaws. And what was clear to us was that the policy that had been followed since long before I became executive director was working well. Debbie recommended one addition in terms of signing the actual invoices, which we've already implemented. So what we have before you today is fairly straightforward, but what it would do is important in our mind, and that is to make sure that the bylaws conform to exactly what process we're following and ought to be followed. The major issue to call to your attention is that since its inception, the executive director has been signing off on the checks. And that's been done after a review that's gone first from our budget and HR director, and then by the executive director, and then there's been a review by the treasurer. And once everything is as it is supposed to be, there's been one signatory on the check. And so that's what we recommend is, as we look back at the bylaws, it seems to suggest that it might require the treasurer or the chairman or vice chairman to come in and jointly sign each and every check. And we've got quite a volume of checks each month. So sum and substance is that we have established internal procedures that would guide us through a process whereby we would have review of all the potential disbursements by the budget HR director. I would review it as well. Once we've signed off, the treasurer would sign off, and then the executive director would be the only signatory required on the check. The one caveat was one that's important for administrative convenience, which is we get some bills that are immediately due, and they're of a routine nature. These are the types of things where we have to give notice in the various newspapers, for example, to notice a meeting, and some of them can't wait for the full meeting. So we've built in a process that would have a minor exemption for those types of things, and the treasurer would still review it at the end of the month, and obviously if the executive director has exceeded his authority, that would be the comeuppance at that point. So there would be a continued review, but it would allow us to pay as appropriate. And that's the process we've recommended. If you look through the changes, we have track changes in the documents that you have, and essentially each of the adjustments basically implements what I've described. The first couple ones make clear that in the absence of the treasurer, the review of the monthly disbursements can be done by the chairman or, in his absence, the vice chairman. And under Section 3, lowercase b, it states the process whereby there will be monitoring of the financial status by the treasurer, periodic reporting by the treasurer to the council, and that the treasurer shall review proposed disbursements with the exception of regularly scheduled disbursements prior to authorizing the executive director to sign the checks for payment.
Yeah, I would just add, what it did, we put these bylaws originally together. We were all concerned about instituting proper controls, and we thought at the time the best way to do that was to have multiple signatures on the check. We determined that that was neither practical nor desirable, and we've instituted the same controls but by a different mechanism, which is by this other review process where Dante and I sign off on things. So I think we're meeting this. I just want to assure the council we're meeting the same objective, doing it in a slightly different way. But since we had specified that in the bylaws, we need to change that. And the second thing, I would just elaborate on what Dante referred to as the routine expenses. We've actually worded them here on page 3, I think it is. I'm confused with the edits. Page 3 of the bylaws. We refer to them as the treasurer shall review, with the exception of regularly scheduled disbursements. That's the wording that we came up with. And it means things like the phone bill and postage, routine things. We'll review them to make sure that the spending is appropriate and in line, but we certainly are in agreement that those are bills to be paid regularly on a routine basis.
And then there's one other change proposed in the bylaws, which concerns the hiring of staff. The way the bylaws were adopted by the council originally, it said, and this is on page 4 of this, was that the for hiring executive staff, the personnel committee would make a would recommend one or more candidates for approval by the council, and the executive director would recommend to the council approval of all other staff. We have not followed that. That was in the bylaws at the beginning. And what essentially happened for non-executive staff was the executive director made those hires and informed the council. We changed the process for the staff. We're just in the process of trying to hire now. But the recommended change in these bylaws now would be to say, to establish the process that for the non-executive positions, not the three of them, the process would be that the personnel committee would have to approve all other hires, but that it would not come to the full council. It would be done at the personnel committee level. And there are a number of council members who have raised questions about that in the last couple of days. My reason for recommending this doing it this way is to, in terms of the efficiency of the process. Given that you're hiring staff, one thing you're dealing with confidentiality,
but more importantly, in this case, you're dealing with the time sensitivity where the process of hiring staff in the state process takes some time anyway, and the personnel committee can be gotten together fairly quickly to meet. This could be situations where the personnel committee and the executive director are ready to make a hire, and the council's not going to meet for another week or two to delay the process of getting them. And even that's not a final decision because then it's going to go to be approved by the council. So that's the recommended change, is that the process for hiring non-executive staff would be that the personnel committee would be the final decision maker of those positions on the recommendation today.
I have one other potential change, Mr. Chairman. The last whereas, which is the eighth one, would waive the requirement for 10 days notice to the council members. I would like to see that provision eliminated, that whereas eliminated, so that the 10-day notice remains in effect for council members. I think that would only be fair. Council.
What was the reason for putting that resolution?
The bylaws have a 10-day notice requirement, so if you want to approve this resolution and the bylaw change at this meeting, you'd have to include that. If you wanted to wait till the next meeting, you could have the proper 10-day notice.
So this resolution deals with granting an exception for this action today.
This
it's
action.
Not a change of the bylaws.
That's correct.
Specifically,
can it be so stated in the language? Because it's not clear.
But you could make the resolution.
I'll move the resolution with the provision that the whereas be specific for this
particular
right. Item.
I can amend that accordingly.
Okay.
Well,
I'll second the resolution as amended.
Are there comments on there are several aspects of this resolution at this point? Comments on
I'm going to comment. I support all the finance issues related here. I don't support the change in the hiring procedure. I was the person who, a year ago, was argued for all hiring decisions to be ultimately the action of the council. And so I'm being consistent with that a year later. While I think in practicality the personnel committee is going to make these decisions in conjunction with the executive director, and it's going to be fairly routine on the part of the council to approve those. Nonetheless, it's ultimately we have the responsibility, the full council, for implementation of the act, and the staff is a pretty critical component of that. And I feel a proper checks and balance, I guess would be the right word to use, to leave that power in the hands of the full council.
Disagree with that point of view, Mr. Chairman. Respectfully, I think that the decisions need to be made sometimes in a very timely fashion. As we discussed in the Personnel Committee meeting, on occasion there are people who need to be acted upon rather quickly, and I think that we can express our confidence in the Personnel Committee and the Executive Director to make these decisions in the same way that any municipality or county relies on its executive director or its staff to make recommendations for these kinds of hires as well. I think this is a good change, and I don't think that it diminishes the authority of the council or puts us in any jeopardy in terms of hiring.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to agree with Mr. Schreier. I think that the personnel committee has been very faithful in meeting and in working with the staff to review applications and to make the hiring decisions. So I would agree that it is very important for us to make good decisions and to make them as efficiently and rapidly as we can to keep the staff at the level we need to accomplish our mission.
And none of this changes any of the staff positions in the sense that everybody continues to be an at-will employee, I think.
Yes.
Just, I was one of the ones who was not in favor of making the change. One of the things we talked about was that we may need to relook at this again. So if we were to make this change now, it doesn't say that this is the way it's always going to be. We could potentially go back and make it that the full council would have the opportunity. I mean, I have some of the same concerns that Debbie does. I think it's an opportunity. I sit on personnel, so I have the opportunity to be a part of it, but there may be other council members who want to also have some say in you know, who it is that we're ready for. I understand this particular time we were under the crunch, we had resignations, we needed to bring people in, but at the same time, I also believe that it's the full council's opportunity to have a say in hiring.
Mr. Chairman, I feel I should wait at least to give members the benefits of where I am from the staff point of view. I would support this the resolution as it's proposed and amended. I would point out that a number of significant decisions are already dedicated to our reasoning and actively meeting council committees, and I think that due care has been and will be taken in doing it. I also want to heighten the and underscore the point that moving quickly is really important. Help in the private sector, you can hire someone and not lose them because you can act so quickly. I want to make clear that we ought not to be disadvantaged. We have the advantage of having folks who want to work here because of the mission, and yet when they're looking for opportunity, an opportunity comes in a private sector where they're clearly getting a better salary offer already, and they can get the job immediately. We are disadvantaged, and I've seen that already happen to the council at the beginning when we just can't move quickly enough. I think that this step would be a step already in a direction which involves the council more than had been the practice, since in the past the council, as a practicality, was notified of the hires short of the executive staff. So this would actually build an additional process. It's been a very meaningful process, and we've kept the personnel committee very much involved. And finally, I think if members, we will continue to provide information to the full council, and we have you know, room to take on additional members to sit in on meetings whenever folks feel that it's an area where they have particular expertise or interest so that they could be part and parcel of that. So I would just say, in sum, for all of those reasons, so you know where the staff is, so we would favor this.
Are there public comments on this resolution? Other council comment? Yes, sir.
Someone comment. I've been in county government for over 30 years.
Can you identify yourself?
Greg Sybil, Warren County.
Mr. Chairman, could you step up that way? It'll be tape recorded for folks who listen in on the web later on.
Greg Sybil, Warren County. Being in government for over 30 years, both in municipality and county level, I think as an agency of a Highlands Council, that having a full council review and approve the staff should be done. I mean, county freeholders do it, local town councils do it. I don't see why you are different. And I think even though the agencies of government agencies have the same restrictions, civil service and stuff like that, they still function. They still do to get their job done. Even though we have the same problems of losing qualified staff due to the regulations, I think the regulations were in place to assure that the staff works for the council, and I would recommend that the full council reviews it and not just the committee.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let's go off the microphone.
My name's Deborah Post. It's come to our awareness that there's been as much as a 40% turnover in the staff on this council. And there's a lot of information, good information, misinformation, turning around that there have been a lot of internal problems within the council staff, and that potentially there have been abuses of power. So I really ask whether delegating all the staff hiring to the existing management isn't really just giving an opportunity for them to continue to stack the decks of the council here in favor of the Greeny agenda. I really think the council members have an obligation to the public and to the landowners to look at everybody you hire to implement this plan. Thank you.
I would just say, in response to the first public comment, I mean, there are a variety of ways of doing this. There are many boards and commissions I'm aware of where the executive director is empowered to make all personnel decisions, and the council's or commission's only decision is hiring the executive director, but there obviously is a variety.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to also clarify that there are many Faulkner Act towns where the council is not involved in approving any kind of hiring.
Any other comments? is everyone clear what the resolution is to essentially approve the bylaws with the changes that are on the sheet in front of us?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the...
Have the motion.
Jack. Nice second.
I'll withdraw my... Right.
All right. All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Three no? Two no. Kurt, you said no?
No.
Well, then it doesn't pass. We have 10 people here, and we need 8 to pass the resolution.
I'll make a motion to amend the resolution to remove the issue on personnel. I'm not sure how to word that. Take that personnel matter out of the resolution and just amend the bylaws on the financial procedure.
So it would say that, so we'll go back to saying that it's on page 4, that one of the powers of the executive director is to recommend for approval by the council one candidate to fill non-executive staff position.
Second.
Any discussion on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just the one important procedural matter. To the extent the Personnel Committee is recommending approval of a slate of candidates to advance to the Department of Personnel and the Governor's Office, the existing bylaws would preclude them without some council.
The vote we took last week.
I'm talking about the current slate that we discussed this morning in personnel.
My understanding was that at last council meeting we made that decision to process.
And to clarify, I supported that at the time because I understood it was for this
exigency.
Thank you.
Okay, as long as it's clear, then I'm going to proceed with it.
Yes.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is item 12, consideration of a resolution regarding recommendation letter on the proposed amendment to the wastewater quality management plan for Alpha Borough. This is what Tim Gillingham referred to in his report. I know there are people here who want to comment on this in public. What I'd like to do for this is have Tom or Steve outline the situation and why we're here on this issue, and then get to public comments, and then open it up for council comments and discussion.
And Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I have to announce that I have to recuse myself on this matter. As a former elected official in the township of Greenwich, Greenwich was a party to litigation involving this matter, and I handled sewer matters for the township and continue to consult on that, so I have to step down from this matter. I also would suggest for you count heads, I don't think you're going to have 8 people
no,
to...
We, well, we have to, maybe, to it makes us a Quaker meeting. We have 8 people and we need them all to agree. this will be an interesting
I'll give a brief overview, and Tim, if you'd like to chime in, or Steve, please chime in any time. But this is sort of an abnormality because we were requested specifically by Judge Ashrafi, who sits in Hunterdon County, on a particular matter of litigation. The litigation involved Mount Laurel development, and there had been a resolution of sewer capacity, and the remaining procedural item for this particular project. This only involves one block and lot in Alpha Borough. The court status was that the capacity had been prioritized for this development, that the wastewater management plan needed to be amended, and that DEP, as Tim referred to before, on March 20th, 2006, published notice for public comment on that site-specific wastewater management plan amendment. In the court, case management orders requested that this council, because it has authority to make recommendations in the planning area, this is a project in the planning area, in State Planning Area 1, this council has the authority to provide recommendations to the DEP wastewater management plan. So because time is of the essence from the court's perspective, they requested we take action within 30 days. So this resolution is only as applicable to this block a lot and time sensitive to the extent the court requested consideration by would be Monday, June 5th.
So the resolution as outlined provided a process by which public comment could be submitted because this matter was considered at the Natural Resources Committee. Additional public comment was requested by public at the time, so we public noticed on our website and actually in the newspaper, noticed that there would be an opportunity for comment through today. So there written submissions are being accepted through today and as well as oral testimony at the council hearing.
Can you clarify it's one of the whereas the resolution, but the DEP regulations that say the Highlands Council should, the department should hear comments from the Highlands Council on these kind of amendments, that's in the currently in place DEP regulations
yes.
as well as the proposed changes in regulations.
That's correct.
How many people in the public would wish to comment on this specific issue? Let's start with the public comments. So, that's a good question. If someone would like to make a motion to approve the resolution we had before,
I'll make the motion.
And then we can discuss it.
Second.
My name is Nancy Chambellan. I'm with the Warren County Environmental Commission. This council is uniquely charged to consider environmental resources and bring a regional planning perspective to applications that no other agency or land use body has before this. The Warren County Environmental Commission has submitted a more complete list of our concerns, but I'd like to review a few here. The Alpha Project lies on the far end of the contaminated limestone aquifer called the Pohatcon Superfund site. And trichloroethylene continues to migrate through this aquifer and into existing private wells in neighboring municipalities. We believe that a portion of available public in-common services should be reserved proactively to address a potential public health crisis and not generously grant amendment for this project without consideration of the future critical need of current residents in the surrounding area. We also understand that Aqua would be drawing on both groundwater and surface water resources of the Delaware River, which we think is unwise due to possible periods of overdrawing of these underlying water resources and undermining of the river's normal flow. The nature of the aquifer is karst limestone, and it is prone to collapse in the presence of overdevelopment. It is the opinion of Warren County Environmental Commission that this particular applicant has not sufficiently explored the sinkhole activity that is historically unique to this area and likely to occur on the site in the context of the unit density and subsequent water movement of the uses proposed. There are also concerns about protecting the C1 waters from degradation in being used as discharge. The Grand at Park Ridge Estates is a major subdivision over a most delicate kind of Highlands critical water resource. It lies in close proximity to various contamination sites. It simply doesn't make basic public health sense to risk introducing contaminated water into a public water system that heretofore has not utilized contaminated water in service to its resident customers. An affordable housing subdivision should never override environmental realities. Indicators suggest that this is not a sustainable development in its present form, and therefore we ask that the council not sign off on this project prior to the adoption of the regional master plan. We strongly urge that this council recommend that the DEP not approve the proposed WQMP amendment. Thank you.
Have you submitted your comments?
Yes, we have.
Okay. I was going to ask Tom, you made reference to us receiving public comments. I've seen one set. How many?
We did receive, I think I emailed to the chair and the chair of the Natural Resource Committee one set of, it was four separate comments we received via email. I think we received some this morning as well. Maybe a total of six comments. In written writing.
And all the comments I've seen were supporting the position.
That's correct.
I'd just like to ask you regarding the potential contamination issue.
Yes.
Have there been any professional studies done on that issue where they've actually gone and examined?
Yes. In fact, we have been working very closely with the EPA. This Pohatcon Superfund site covers 3 miles by 12 miles up the Pohatcom Valley, and it continues to move because it continues to be unremediated. We are in the process of trying to work with the EPA to get that remediation progress started, but it will be a 15 to 40 year cleanup process.
But does he, has the EPA specifically stated that there was a potential problem?
Oh yes, this past summer they have identified the offending industry.
Because they feel that it's going to get into the aquifer?
It already is in, it has been in for 30 years.
I think my question is, does the contamination of the aquifer pose a threat to the drinking water supply specifically, as opposed to everybody acknowledges that it's there?
Yes, that is correct.
EPA made that conclusion.
We know that being unremediated, it continues to move through the aquifer. This particular site lies at the far end, and it hasn't been reached yet. But in the meantime, this public water system is in common for more than just Alpha, several municipalities in the area. And if there is a heavy and very generous allocation of the public water service to this particular project, we could leave us short on providing public water service in the future, knowing that this TCE continues to migrate into private wells that are already exist in Greenwich Township and other areas as this moves westward.
Thank you.
Is all the water coming from groundwater?
I'd like to get a couple of other people to speak, because I'm not sure. I think some of these questions, if we're going to need the answer, we're going to go directly to the EPA and other agencies. Mm-hmm. Intermediate interpretation of them. Other comments, commentors?
Sure. While she's getting it.
Yeah.
You said all the comments supported or didn't support?
All the comments support. All the comments, the written comments advocate that we not approve this waste water project.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The New Jersey Highlands Coalition strongly urges the Highlands Council to recommend that the DEP not approve a water quality management plan amendment to the Upper Delaware Water Quality Management Plan at this time. I hope you're impressed that I can say it that fast. The New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Highland Rules of NJAC 7:38-1.1G state that the department will give great consideration and weight to the Highlands Regional Master Plan when making decisions in or affecting the Highlands. While proposed NJAC 7:38-1.1H more specifically states that in the planning area, so long as it is consistent with its statutory and regulatory authority, the department will not issue any approval, authorization, or permit if it is incompatible with the resource protection goals of the regional master plan. In addition, NJAC 7:38-1.1K states that the department will consider the RMP and consider amending its water quality management plans to maintain consistency with the RMP and shall only approve a water quality management plan amendment after receiving a determination of consistency with the RMP from the Highlands Council. In the interim, before the RMP is completed, the department will obtain a recommendation from the Highlands Council when determining whether or not to approve a water quality management plan. The proposed water quality management plan is one of those listed in September 2005 as an affected WMP agency not in compliance with the Schedule NJAC 7:15-5.23 and having outdated and never adopted WMP status. In fact, not a single municipality or regional sewer authority in Warren County in the Highlands region is in compliance with the planning requirements for approved water quality management plans under current law. It is the mission of the Highlands Council to implement the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act, primarily through the creation and adoption of a regional master plan. The Council is currently developing data, and this information is not yet complete, as you know. The Council cannot develop its regional master plan without the data. The plan will not be released, even in draft form, until the fall of 2006. You cannot make a rational, fact-based decision on the proposed WMP for Alpha without the regional master plan on which to base your decision, or at the very least, having the data in hand. We have submitted this letter. There are a lot of details in here, and I recommend it to your consideration and hope that everybody was given it before this meeting so that you can refer to it and ask that you not make a decision until you've had an opportunity to read all the comments.
Are there any comments that you're giving to us that you didn't previously also give to the DEP during their commentary?
All of these comments.
So you did not comment on this?
It's my first day full-time on the job today.
Okay, so your previous organization, the Great Swamp Watershed, did not comment on this amendment?
The Great Swamp Watershed Association is about 50 miles east of here. So, no, the Great Swamp Watershed Association did not. Because of the lack of completeness and comprehensiveness of the information provided by NJDEP, the incomplete state of the Highlands Council natural resource and sustainability data, and the lack of an RMP, it is impossible for either the Council or DEP to determine whether the proposed WIMP is or is not compatible with the resource protection goals of the RMP. Since you do not have the information upon which to base a decision, all signs point to a complete lack of regional planning for natural resource sustainability, the mission of this Council. Therefore, we request that you not sign off on this or any other WIMP water quality management plan amendments prior to the adoption of the regional master plan. We wish to remind you that the judge's order shouldn't trump the DEP. The Council should insist on a regional approach to wastewater management planning, given the regional growth being proposed in this area, and it is way beyond what is before you today in this Alpha Amendment. We strongly urge that the Council recommend that the DEP not approve the proposed Water Quality Management Plan amendment. And signing on to this are the New Jersey Environmental Federation, the North Byram Concerned Citizens of Sussex County, the Warren County Environmental Commission, the Hunterdon Coalition, Skylands Clean, the Pequannock River Coalition, the Friends of Holland Highlands, New Jersey Conservation Foundation, the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, the Regional Plan Association, Environmental Defense, and the New Jersey Federation of Women's Clubs. I have also been asked to say that there is a council person from Alpha who would have liked to testify today, but has been told that he or she should not do so because there is a threat of litigation were this person to come before you. And it is unfortunate that they thought that they couldn't come to give you their opinion on this. Thank you.
Other comments?
Hello, my name is Wilma Fry, and at this time I am speaking on behalf of Laura Altman, who is a resident of Pohatcong Township and a leader in the Phillipsburg Riverview Organization. She was here earlier today, but she had to leave. Phillipsburg Riverview Organization is an environmental group which supports farmland preservation of open space, and regional planning and smart growth in the southern Warren County area. And the organization has also facilitated the acquisition of a number of parcels of open space in southern Warren and also in Holland Township in Hunterdon County. Ms. Altman states, I would like to provide some demographic perspectives to this application. And this really deals with the cumulative development being proposed for the southern Warren County area. The Council must consider that this development is only one of three within less than 2 miles of each other that are currently seeking water quality management plan amendments. Two developments are in Pohatcong Township, and together will add another 760 or so housing units to that municipality. There are currently only 1,300 households in Pohatcong, so in other words, that's half again as much of the town. The current population is about 3,000. The housing units represent a huge increase in population of approximately 70%. The larger of the two developments proposed in Pohatcong is a COA Builder's Remedy development of 445 units, and the obligation it is intended to satisfy is only 22 affordable housing units. These developments are intended to provide affordable housing, but it is clear that they will push a large number of low and moderate income homeowners out of the homes they already own as their taxes increase to pay for infrastructure improvements for the new developments. I would also like to say that one of the most necessary improvements will be the expansion of the sewage treatment facility in Phillipsburg, which is intended to serve the Alpha development. That facility does not have the capacity to service these three developments, much less all the others that are being planned in the sewer service area. Alpha 519 development would add about 400 new residents to Alpha, a significant increase to a town of 2,500 that will at least require the construction of a new school. But the entire Alpha 519 development is unnecessary because Alpha has already satisfied its prior round COA obligation with a group home built by the Ark of Warren County, and it no longer needs an inclusionary development to accomplish this. A census analysis sent by email, which I believe the council has received, shows the enormous tax impact of this project on a municipality with a median income of only $52,000. That income is 22% lower than the median income of this COA housing region and much lower than the maximum allowable moderate income for COA housing. In fact, in this housing region, the maximum allowable moderate income for COA housing for a family of four is $63,000 and for a family of three is $56,000. That is obviously greater than the median income in the township. The median family income in Pohatcong is $60,000, also lower than the COA threshold for moderate income housing. COA guidelines require that monthly owner costs of houses sold as affordable cannot exceed 33% of monthly income. In Pohatcong Township, 151 households already have owner costs that exceed that level of affordability. And in Warren County, only Alpha and Phillipsburg have lower median incomes than Pohatcong. Given the enormous population increases from these three development proposals, the extremely negative impacts on low and moderate income residents who already live in these municipalities, and the minimal affordable housing requirements of these municipalities, I urge the council to reject the WMP amendment requested by the courts and by the developer of Alpha 519, yours truly, Laura Olson, 319 River Road, Pohatcong Township. Thank you very much.
Other people who'd like to comment?
Good morning. My name is Scott Olson from Byram Township. I represent North Byram Concerned Citizens, and I think Julia spoke very well to most of my concerns. The one thing I did want to address is the fact that I think that by even considering this amendment, you're setting a dangerous precedent. Until the regional master plan is complete, I don't think it's good for you to be taking on any kind of individual applications without having the full knowledge of the complete impact on the region. So for that reason alone, I would suggest you don't approve this. Thank you.
Robert Goltz, Warren County Regional Chamber of Commerce. On this issue, from what Mr. Borden said, you don't have to vote on it today because you're still taking in, according to what you had said, letters are still being received today. So this issue actually is being moved forward. So there's a lot more out there, I believe, in discussing regarding it. Do I believe you also should not make a precedent? I think you should make a precedent because there is business and industry that wants to move into these communities that are within the Highlands. And we can't stop that. At the same time, we can definitely garnish it towards the Highlands' needs, but to say that we're not going to act on anything is preposterous at this point for the economic stability of all communities involved.
My name is Deborah Post, and I don't really have any specific comments on the specifics of this situation. I would like to comment on the strategy of delay. Delay, delay, delay is the strategy. There are people whose lives are on hold. Please look at the facts here and make a good decision. Don't delay.
My name is David Shope. I live in Long Valley. From time to time, I've had to use the court system to to my mind, courts don't request, they order. They ordered Nixon to give up the tapes. He did. If you're looking for a collision amongst the departments of government, you could well achieve it today. I recommend that you approve what the court has, I believe, ordered. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. We need to discuss this. This is, I find this a very troubling issue, not with no comment on the specifics of the ALPA application, but just the current conflict with council that I think we all know that our primary task is to get the regional master plan done. And have done a good job so far of not getting sidetracked by lots of specific or any specific site-specific decisions that are coming along while we're developing the master plan. In this case, not quite the way Mr. Shope said it, but we've been asked by the court to make a comment. We haven't been asked by the court to approve or deny, but we've been asked by the court the court, the judges asked DEP to get comments from the Highlands Council on this application, and there's a deadline of Monday. So it's a case where to do nothing is to do something. If we take no position, then the Department of Environmental Protection is in the position going back to the judge saying they don't have a comment from the Highlands Council one way or another. And on the other hand, to make a decision, we're making a decision at this point based on having heard a number of articulate people speak against the project, nobody speak in favor of it. There must be people who are in favor of it. There must be, I assume the township approved it. I don't even know. Is this a builder's remedy?
The township planning board approved the project, and it also was a builder's remedy lawsuit.
But there's nobody here on behalf of the township or the builder or what else. And relatedly, as Tom's estimate is that we're going to get a number of probably a small number, but a number more of situations like this between now and the time we adopt the regional master plan. So it's not clear to me what we should do.
I guess I have a kind of a point of order question also, but having sat on a town planning board for many years, I learned that a lot of times people aren't telling you the whole truth. They're telling you what they think will better move forward, what their goal is. I think this is a situation where there's a lot more in play than what we're looking at. We know that our overview is primarily the water, and I think we're going to have a lot of environmentally minded people come out and talk primarily about that to us because they know that's really the only thing we can comment on. But I hear the COA issue, I hear litigation, I hear the overdevelopment, I hear the need for possibly another school. This is all stuff that I would want to gather information in. And where I'm sitting here right now is I would have to probably abstain until I collected more information. And that goes to my point of order. Knowing that you need 8 people to take action, I just thought I'd throw that out there right now, that I would need people to start educating me quick or the process is bogged down quickly, and I'm not intending that. So I need a little clarification on what need of staining, just because I want more information on that, would do.
Well, we do need all 8 people here to approve any resolution. But I don't think you're alone.
Well, I share the concern. I don't feel I have enough facts. I really don't know anything other than what I've been told right now. Everything that's been presented to us by public comments has been really opinion and conjecture. How did this come about? If it is planning board approved, is Borough of Alpha mayor or council take legal action? I mean, who pulled the legal action on who? Where do they stand? Is there a subterfuge here? Is this people are looking at this as we don't need more COA, so let's find some way to stop this project? Is this a brownfield site? Does this town have village designation, center designation? There's an awful lot out there that.
Tim spent more time with this than the rest of us so far.
My sleepless nights.
Go ahead.
I would start by taking folks' input on good faith that there are issues that are at least are of concern to them. I thought the chairman's point about EPA's perspective on the the risk of contamination is a good one, and that we want to go to those kind of sources. And I agree with Kirk that, you know, there is not enough information there, but I also like to go on record agreeing with Ms. Post that I don't think delay is necessarily a readily available option to us. I think we're going to have to deal with these issues between now and the time we adopt the plan. Hopefully they'll be minimal to the extent that we can encourage the DEP to not act prematurely and send them to us when they're not right. That would help also. But I guess I have a question, Mr. Chairman, of Tom, which is really about the nature of the decision. I don't think we clearly can make a decision and offer an opinion that this project is either consistent or inconsistent with the regional master plan, because there isn't a regional master plan. So what we are, in essence, doing is trying to look at either the statutory objectives or requirements or what's readily apparent to us based upon the information that we have. And so I'm not trying to parse this or play games with it necessarily, but is whether or not the recommendation can be that, you know, the staff has said that there's a series of criteria that they evaluated that they don't see a conflict with, and those are the ones which are articulated in the statute. There is, you know, aspects of this project in terms of information that were provided to us which are consistent with the smart growth parts of our act, right, that it's adjacent. But then there are all these other issues that the public has raised, which, you know, setting aside the factual validity of the concerns that weren't addressed, to the best of my knowledge, cumulative impacts of the development, the fact that we're not looking at this in a regional context. And I wonder if there's a way to, you know, say that we can't measure this against the regional master plan, because there is no regional master plan, but to note that these issues were raised. And the DEP, I mean, part of the concern, I think, is that the wastewater management plan review is not going to be thorough enough, or that it's going to have some infirmities to it that we need to offset. I don't have an answer necessarily on how to do that in the absence of having our own plan in place. So we don't have to give a yes or no. We don't have to approve or disapprove. Our recommendation could be that the public has raised these issues, which need to be, you know, in the spirit of protecting the Highlands resources, evaluate. And then we can set the scope of that, whether or not the co-op issues and the other issues that may be out there are fair game to us. I don't know. But
so in effect, we could say something like, we appreciate being asked comments, but at this time we have not yet adopted or even proposed a regional master plan. We have no comments to submit, but we urge the department to consider all the public comments we've received.
Right, well, our recommendation is the public can testify to us that provided comments that they did not provide to the DEP, and they raised, you know, concerns, serious concerns in my mind, and they ought to be investigated before any decision is rendered on this.
Yeah, I would like to emphasize that I think we should put in a letter that we would send that the reason that we can't act is not solely because we haven't adopted the regional master plan, because remember, we've put ourselves in this conundrum because we asked to have these come to us. We didn't want water quality management plans to be marching ahead before the plan was adopted. So we fought for this ability to have comment here as a council. So we've sort of put ourselves in a box here because we don't have a process, we don't have all the data we need in order to do a thorough review to satisfy council members. And I'm in that situation too. From what I've seen, I would vote no, not to approve this. So I think in the letter, what we should say is not just that we don't have the master plan complete, but that we have an extra deadline that was put on us of this 30 days, which was really an impossible deadline for us to meet, and that we do want these to continue to be sent to us by DEP.
Sure, and I would add to Tracy's comments that the language of the resolution itself on item 3 under now therefore says that the chairman and the executive director are authorized to review and take action on the water quality management plan after taking into consideration public comment received on or before June 1st, 2006. The deadline for this public comment is 5 o'clock this afternoon. So we have not concluded that process yet.
Right.
Unless to take a vote now, because we are in meeting, is, I think, premature on its face.
Well, yes. I guess the choice is, if we don't take a vote now, then the June 5th deadline passes and we submit nothing, which is possible.
Well, I just want to maybe address Scott's initial question. Is this this determination is a DEP determination. The way they established the Highlands rules, the existing rules, is that they stated that they would not make a determination to approve an amended wastewater management plan absent our recommendation. So the concern I would raise, I think John expressed before, if we take no action, DEP is precluded from approving it. So I think one potential resolution is, since this ultimately is DEP's determination, what the route Tracy was recommending was to provide DEP with the input that's been provided to this council during the public comment period, and ask that it's our recommendation that they examine these issues and fully consider them before taking before approving the plan. Amendment.
Before taking action.
Yes.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to ask Tom something. This really is all about the question of whether or not the sewer treatment facility has the capacity to incorporate this development into it. Isn't that what it really gets down to? I mean, is that all that we're supposed to be dealing with?
No, this is actually specifically an expansion of the sewer service area. My
right.
understanding is, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, that the capacity for this actual project is there. I think the public comment was there's additional developments that may require an expansion of the plant. That's a different issue.
Right, but they want to include this 25 acres.
That this would have to be included in the sewer service area designation.
And that's really all we've been asked to comment on.
That's right.
And this is PA 1.
This is planning area.
Planning area 1, which is a development area where we're supposed to absorb development.
Yes, but water quality management plan amendments look at more than just that. Executive Order 109 has many components in it that are applied by DEP when they do a water quality management plan amendment review. And they consider things such as riparian corridor and the impacts on the regional water supply. There's other considerations that are taken into consideration under Executive Order 109 by DEP when they do these reviews. However, my experience with the application of EO 109 by DEP through my work is that it's often very scanty. It certainly doesn't rise to the level of what this council would do with regional master plan complete and the data and the breadth of information that we would bring to bear on this kind of a review for, and as the commissioner said earlier, they want to harmonize the wastewater program. So I think the, you know, to fairly look at an amendment to water quality management plan, we have to realize it's a lot more than just whether or not to move a line for a sewer service area.
Well, and we know nothing of those, you know, of what is involved here. We don't really know if they have capacity or how much additional capacity. We don't know where the waste is going after it's been treated, or what the condition of the river or the stream is that's receiving it. You know, we don't have any of that information.
One of my concerns going into this meeting about the resolution as drafted was it gives me and Dante the role of submitting comments, and without a sense of what the council wants to do, that would be difficult. What I was going to suggest from discussion so far is something is that the council would today consider a resolution that we send a letter saying something like, the Highlands Council is unable to comment on the consistency of this proposed wastewater quality plan amendment within the 30-day comment period, 30 days we provided to comment, because we have not yet proposed or adopted a regional master plan. We urge the DEP to consider all the public comments received, including those we are forwarding, some of which we understand the department has not received before. But have that be the council's position.
I would support that. I'd make a motion.
You have to make your motion, I guess.
So I'll withdraw my
motion. Okay.
And you can make
it. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I think that's a fair solution because it addresses the issue exactly as it stands.
I wanted to make sure we were neutral with our presentation of the representation of the public comment, because, you know, fairly, I mean, how this, I guess, came under our radar screen at the Natural Resources Committee a couple of weeks ago, and if you weren't networked into that meeting, how else would anybody even know that this thing is happening to come and comment on it, perhaps?
We did get public notice specifically on this.
Right.
And advised the special master.
Well, Kurt, the language I suggested was something like, we urge the DEP to consider all the public comments it receives, including those we are forwarding, some of which we understand.
Which I support.
Further comments?
I guess my concern is about the unable to language, because if that, in essence, is saying that we're not going to review these or make a decision on any of these details of time.
No, but I said what I was saying was that it's unable to comment on the consistency within the 30-day period requested.
I guess
so. It leaves open the question of on a subsequent one if we would want more time or what we would.
Well, I think it also leaves open the possibility that the special master might write back and say, how much more time would you need? And I don't know if you want to think about what our position might be if they do say that.
I don't want to think about it when we need all the people.
I think also, at the Natural Resource Committee, we did discuss the obvious need. As a matter of fact, we had a resolution, a draft of resolution, which we didn't move forward yet, of developing a process. And we have to have a process and, you know, a checklist which reflects our charges in the Act that to use even in the interim. And we don't have that yet. And
we also have to have a sense of how much staff time that's going to take.
True. And we may decide that we don't want this anymore as an ability to comment. I doubt that. But I think that we need, as a committee, to do our work to develop a process, and that would be the answer. Yes, okay, we got another 30 days, then we make a decision. Are we going to put staff time into developing a process?
I think that's a great point. I mean, we do need some sort of a process laid out to do this, but I think we would want to continue making a comment on some of these.
I
comment to the commissioner about applications languishing in Trenton. Mm-hmm. I think it goes right to that. And for us to be able to weigh in on some of these issues would be valuable.
So we need a line in there that just says, but look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Have a nice day.
Right. And Mr. Chairman, would your resolution, would we include the comments that we've received today and rather than have them sort of go independently? We would be in essence be submitting a record of
we send all the comments we've received.
You mean you're asking to the court as opposed to DEP? Is that your question?
No. We're responding to DEP as our charge. So we would say we're forwarding these comments to you. Mm-hmm. And some would say we understand some of them, maybe all of them, but at least some of them they haven't seen.
Give copies of all the comments that we got here today. Wilma.
I think everyone's. Well, we would have to summarize the oral comments today, but I think these other comments we have in writing.
It's the best we can do, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or questions?
Just that I agree that we need to submit something.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we hope. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The Quakers. That is, I believe, the last. There are no grants to municipalities or counties for consideration tonight.
That's correct.
So that's the last item for public comment, unless council members have other items they want to bring to the meeting. Members of the public who wish to speak this time on any topic? Yes.
Hi, Sylvia Kovacs, Warren County Environmental Commission. Just really quickly to the process that just happened here. I can't thank you enough for the openness in the Natural Resource Subcommittee meeting for the public comment to have had such a diligent voice in trying to help through this process. I know it's difficult. I know the delay has been also difficult on just about everybody on that side of the table as well as this side of the table. But it really did give us a chance, difficult as it was for us, to put something together over the holiday weekend to actually put forward issues. We can speak further about other EPA components of this instead of just going off on tangents. But I just wanted to say thank you again for the opportunity.
Uh,
I am Catherine Schmidt with, I'm in Morris County. I just wanted to ask a question, since we have sunshine laws, and I guess it's maybe like asking somebody how old they are, but I was wondering what the total dollar amount of the salaries of the council members is.
58 years old. we don't do this part of the session as a question and answer session, but we could provide you with our budget, which is a public document, for, that would show you this.
Her question was what we earn, and it's zero.
We are in
zero.
You're a volunteer?
We do this for fun.
Yes.
Oh, you are.
It's twice as much as we got last year.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well,
cut our budget for lunches either.
Oh, well, I was curious about that, but is your budget, how can I get the budget?
You can get it through the staff, we'll get, make sure someone talks to you.
Or is it on the website? Or?
I think the budget's on the website.
The our annual report's on the website, which has our budget.
Has a budget for 2000, and you can pick up a copy of that here.
Oh.
Which has the budget for 2005.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Again, my name is Robert Golson. I'm with the Warren County Regional Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development. I wanted to thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm coming here with open arms this year. I'm doing a little bit different. We have an Economic Development Council in Warren County that the Chamber heads, and we want to invite, we've already invited Ms. Pasquarelli to be a part of that, and we also would like to see a staff member be a part of that. It's a monthly meeting. We're getting a lot of questions from all our municipalities regarding the Highlands, and most of them are dealing, all of them are in the economic development of Warren County, so we are opening that to the staff here if they would like to send a representative to be on that monthly meeting. Also, we are opening our office to the Highlands Council and their staff if they would like to utilize our office to field questions or do work. We have some cubicle space that we are more than willing to let you use, computers and all, scot-free. We just want to have a connection with the Highlands Council to work on those issues. And also, we'd like to be invited to the municipality meeting, if that's possible, that you're having.
I think Dave Deck is coordinating them.
Dave Deck's, okay. So I'll get that from Dave.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
I'm Robert Fry, a farmer in Pohacon Township. Over a year ago, I mentioned to this council that there seemed to be some sort of deliberate vendetta against the farming community, in part because those of us who preserve farms in good faith had not been able to get a determination on non-several exceptions. We still have not gotten a decision on this. Several weeks ago, I twice faxed a request to Highlands staff for information as to where in the Highlands Act or in the Administrative Procedures Code it allowed for the six-month extension that the council has abstained. I have gotten no response. Similarly, the Warren County Board of Agriculture in April requested an assistance in setting up an ethanol biodiesel facility in North Jersey from this council, and I have not so much as gotten an answer. I am dismayed at the lack of common courtesy displayed by the state and this council, and I regret Commissioner Jackson was not here to hear my comments.
Thank you. In response to the second point, I signed this morning, just before the meeting started, a response to Warren County in response to the request about the ethanol, the funding for the ethanol facility. So you'll be getting that within the next day or two, which says that we're just putting together procedure for administering or considering proposals for that funding for agricultural projects, and we'll be happy to consider that project. So I'm sorry that it took probably 3 weeks or so to get that letter to you from the time we received the official letter. In terms of your first question, there is no specific language in the law in the Highlands Act that pertains to what happens if the Highlands Council does not complete a plan within 18 months of its first meeting. consulted with attorneys in state government and determined that under the circumstances that we could not meet the other mandates of the Act to produce a plan that, that met the standard within the Act within 18 months, we had authority to do what we did. But there is no specific language that says that. Other comments?
Joel, what about his comment about the non-severable exceptions? That's been lingering for about a year. We've been trying to get a determination on its green acres.
We included, DEP actually did issue a letter on this issue. We included it in the meeting packets ahead of the public so we can make sure it's made available to him. But the resolution was, Monique, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but the DEP is treating them as long as you were submitted the SADC request that it could be treated as a lot for exemption purposes. It's a very narrow issue. But that's
treated as a what?
In other words, the Act exempts single-family homes on lots that were in existence, and what DEP did said they would treat these, as long as you were in the pipeline for SADC purposes, they would treat those as the lot was actually created. And we have a letter from DEP on that that we can provide you.
Could you have a staff person contact Mr. Fry?
Yes.
Just for everyone's information, it's my understanding as well that.
Monique, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm sorry. Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture.
I am with the Department of Agriculture, not the SADC, but my understanding is just what you said, Tom, that the exception areas will be treated as a single lot. There was also additional conversations back and forth between Susan Kraft and the DEP about the date that was the cutoff date in terms of, I think it was August 15th cutoff. There's been conversations about extending that date out longer, and my understanding is there's going to be a meeting tomorrow to resolve that issue, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
We don't have a staff person that's dealing with land conservation matters, so it's not, that would, this would be a logical thing that we would delegate to them to pursue on Mr. Fry's behalf, but that's why I'm saying a legal staff member.
Kim Kaiser will gladly follow up.
Other comments? Yes.
Good morning. My name is Lois Drysdale. I have a few personal comments, but Deborah Post could not stay for the public comments. May I read her comments also? May I read them both?
Could you pull the microphone closer? They're motioning that they can't
hear you. I'm sorry. That's okay. My husband Andy and I own 16 and a half acres in the preservation area of Chester Township. Today is June 1st. I was born June 1st, 1937. That was 69 years ago. My husband and I thought that we would be retired by now. However, the Highlands Act has taken away at least three-quarters of our retirement fund and put our lives on hold. If landowners are required to give up three-quarters of their assets, should not everyone be required to do the same? I have a quote from Proverbs 13, verse 23. A poor person's farm may produce much food, but injustice sweeps it all away. Thank you. And these are Deborah Post's comments. The staff of this council has been meeting with municipalities both publicly and privately. Particular focus has been placed on planning area municipalities who may choose to opt in to the preservation area. Council staff has been distributing documents that describe the benefits and incentives to conformance for opting in. Mr. DePiro has used the phrase basket of gifts as many as 15 times in these presentations. These gifts include municipal grants and packages, tax stabilization promises, and most importantly, transfer of development rights. Offering TDRs to the planning area is not contemplated in the Highlands Act. TDRs were not designed to be a carrot. They were intended to provide just compensation for preservation area landowners who have had their equity eviscerated by this act. Yes, this council's executive director, who has failed to produce a regional master plan on its statutory schedule, is currently out promising to issue TDRs to planning area residents. Mr. DePiro is increasing the total number of TDRs before he has a clue where he will sell even one of the 6 billion of TDRs already existing in the preservation area. He is increasing the supply of TDRs to be funded without having identified even one receiving zone. Council members, please wake up. I am curious regarding whether most council members know that a careful review of the DEP procedures and authorizations will reveal that the failure to release the Highlands DEP regulations on May 9, 2006 was likely contemplated over a year ago and possibly during the drafting of the Highlands Act itself. Political forces have craftily availed themselves of loopholes that will allow delays and delays and more delays. Delay is their strategy. When there is no funding for any rational regional master plan, continual delay is just another premeditated element of the Highlands' evil end game. I would appreciate receiving answers to the following questions. Why has there been a 40% turnover in this council staff? Are council members aware of any internal problems that may have contributed to this extremely high turnover? Are council members aware of any abuses of power by council staff or other members? The public has a right to know how internal problems, employee turnover, and rumored abuses of power are impacting the regional master plan, which is not being released on its statutory schedule. Thank you.
Are you providing us a copy of Deb Post? Okay. Other public comments? Or not? Another lot, yes.
Douglas Williams, Flanders. I've been kind of wondering, I've been coming here for over a year now, and I never really hear anything about any additional water being able to be serviced to any of these planned communities that you're sending from the preservation area into another building area. There's most of these areas probably will not have sufficient water piping, wells, reservoir systems, staffing, trucks, men, whatever, to supply the water and sewage to these people in these planning areas. Just as right now anybody in the preservation area cannot build, basically, you're sending our children into a planning area with very little infrastructure. And the infrastructure that is there is just capable of doing what they're doing now. They're not able to build on this quickly just because of time constraints and where the where they're located. They don't have the ability to put up a reservoir in a week or 10 weeks or whatever it's going to take. It's going to be many, many years before they have that ability. And our children will have nowhere to go other than to out of state or to use existing housing that's being sold by people that are just fleeing the state. And I don't think it's fair to our children. I don't think it's fair to us at being in the preservation area, and because we have nothing to offer them here. And I don't believe that the planning areas have, they probably have less to offer them than we have out here. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. I live in the preservation area at 32 East Fox Chase Road, Chester Township, Morris County, New Jersey. You have stated that you plan to share the science with the counties. Do you also plan to share that information with the public? And will that science be supplied in the form of raw data, or will the ink be blurred? At the last meeting, a map was displayed. It showed areas where groundwater was presumed to be polluted. I believe that to determine the amount of pollution in the groundwater, that you would have to test well water. Excuse me. Most wells for homes are no closer than 100 feet from septic systems, but usually within 200 or 300 feet. You cannot, therefore, use some arbitrary larger number to pollute the science and blur the ink. Raw data, which has not been tampered with, needs to be supplied to numerous professionals who know how to use it properly. Also, you know, I guess Lisa Jackson isn't here anymore, is that right? I had a question I wanted to ask, since she was from New Orleans, and all the strategical problems they had with getting all the people out of there after the Katrina. Isn't that a problem when you start transferring TDRs from an area which is less populated to an area that's more populated? That's something to think about. Thank you.
Something probably a little different. I'm Matt Polsky. I was only very slightly involved in the fight for the Highlands Act, and I haven't felt that it was my place to say anything, but I've been coming to a few of these things and starting to get involved. And I think it's about time to try to make a contribution. The most important factor bringing me here, though, was the earlier issuance of the scoping document, which talked quite a bit about sustainability. And I don't believe that the Highlands Council has received enough credit from the various parties for doing this and for the many sustainability concepts that were in that document. I'm a longtime sustainability catalyst in New Jersey, first in state government for many years, where I led many formal and informal activities to try to understand the implications of the concept. And since leaving the department, I continue to try to help a number of groups in New Jersey with their initiatives and their thinking, including business, environmental groups, academia, keeping a hand in state government, but mostly working with local governments these days, and occasional project in a developing poor country. It is wearing this non-professional hat that I offer these comments. I'm not representing anyone here today, my employer or anyone else, and there's no reason to think that anyone necessarily agrees with anything I'm going to say, but I'm somewhat used to that from my years in government. Sometimes acceptance comes years later, as it did when, with a small group of co-conspirators, we decided that DEP needed to be in the global warming business, and it took years before they agreed with us, and a number of other examples along those lines. I recently gave the Highlands Council an 11-page document on my views, which I'm not going to read. In it, I looked at a few dozen tenets of sustainability and how I think you're doing in reaching them. I want to encourage the council and staff to consider and debate them. Sometimes the relevance of sustainability to a specific decision isn't all that clear and has to be pondered. The field of sustainability certainly isn't fully developed, particularly in the area that you're wrestling with, but I encourage you to keep trying. One sometimes hears that one measure of how well government is doing is if it has everybody mad at it from time to time, and I guess that does happen here, but I think that's the lowest level of so-called success. Framing the objectives as sustainability, which you've now done, offers a possibility of facilitating some win-wins over time and gaining some acceptance, even if grudging, by all the groups at the table on many of the conflicting issues that you're facing. It certainly won't create a love-in. There'll still be disagreements and deeply felt value differences. They won't go away. But by bringing in the long run, emphasizing innovation, catalyzing real partnerships, reminding us what's at stake, pushing the science, trying to foster a we're all in this together attitude, showing a humbleness about what we don't know and a willingness to get the answers and to challenge constituents to help find the answers, I think there's now the potential to approach a sustainable Highlands region, something that's good to remember as we go through some of these stormy times. At the same time, a document framed around sustainability raises the bar for judging how you're doing. However, I think while you're still a young group, for the most part, I think you're well on your way to meeting this higher standard. And in that 11 pages, I divided my comments around tenants, sustainability tenants, where I believe you are doing quite well, a few that where the initial work is good, you need to go further, and there were some tenants I discussed where I've seen little progress to date. I'm not going to mention anything in the first category, a little bit in the second. Sometimes the public participation process is a bit perplexing to me and paradoxical, and it's so important, as you know. From what I can tell, you do a very good job of soliciting public participation, and I think taking it quite seriously. On the other hand, there seems to be a certain ritualistic nature to many of the public comments and the lack of councilperson response. I mean, I would bet by this time you can predict many of the comments that are coming. And I don't really see a lot of gain from doing this other than it is democracy, and democracy is a great system, and it's well worth doing. But perhaps we can do even better. Perhaps if it was more engagement by the council staff, some preparatory data and thought out responses to the kind of things that you can pretty much predict are coming might elevate the discussion and help move us all forward. But of course, comments that I personally might not consider to be productive might have components that are accurate, and these should be acknowledged. And as they are so deeply felt by those testifying, and might be driven by a frustration, a history, a misunderstanding at times, these factors should try to be understood. My final category are areas where there are serious voids. Not a lot, but some. These include such areas as lack of attention to sustainable green business, and I heard the Warren County chamberperson talk a few minutes ago. It would be great to bring some of these ideas to their attention if they don't already know about them. The responsibilities of non-Highlands water users of Highlands water, and lack of attention to sustainable communities, which is starting to pick up momentum in other parts of the state, but very little here so far. The biggest unresolved problem, and this is probably the last one I really talk about, is the area of cooperation building or partnerships, a key tenet of sustainability, in this case involving farmers and environmentalists. I know that the council has started to do some good things in this area, but so much more is needed. Some of the quality of the dialogue I've been hearing is just very disheartening to me, and almost painful from different sides of the issue. You know, on one side, there are charges of communism, unsubstantiated charges of large decreases in property value, a claim that the act is not about water, et cetera, and one that's personally painful to hear, a lack of recognition of the importance of protecting endangered species, as shown by a horror that such a species might possibly be discovered on one's property, as if that's a horrible thing, as opposed to, I think it's a privilege to be asked to help an endangered species recover. On the other side, there's a lack of empathy of what farmers are going through. I think a blithe assumption that the existing programs must be working well enough and that the equity problem is being taken care of, and a view that all claims of inadequate compensation are unjustified and greed-driven. And I think we need to get beyond this finally. There needs to be a major effort to try to facilitate a farmer-environmentalist consensus. We need a third party, and I think you guys, if not now, perhaps after the RMP is done, to try to bring the participants together to try to define what is fair and reasonable when it comes to equity, and emphasize that beyond this point, claims for compensation cannot be met. Work out the basics of a new deal and try to heal this farmer-environmentalist relationship. I know it won't be easy. I've often seen government get cooperation wrong, but I'm not convinced it can't be done. All the issues I've heard discussed here and some of the other forums need to be brought to the table. I know it won't be easy again, but it really is important to try. In the long term, summing up, I think you're doing rather well, actually, in meeting the higher bar that you've now set for yourself. And in those areas, you should keep doing what you're doing. And there's still some areas, as I've mentioned, that still need some improvement, and there are those gaps. In the long term, the council cannot be successful if it is blamed by one party or the other after every key decision it makes, if it is not seen as a well-respected agency doing its best to implement a pioneering act, if its stakeholders continue to see issues as a zero-sum game, if the cynicism is not addressed where it is legitimate and marginalized where it is not. I'm afraid even a marvelous regional master plan by itself won't be enough to act as a basis for a successful act, particularly if sustainability is now the goal. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. And, I have read Matt's front page, audit page, submission, and for those of you who encourage you to us. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Other comments? Okay, council member comments? Our next scheduled meeting is 3 weeks, June 22nd at 10 o'clock. Thank you all. Thank you.
It's summertime.